The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Did you hear that? My stomach's rumbling.
Is that your tummy?
Yeah.
Did you eat anything today?
No, not at all. Have you?
Yeah, I had a...
Do we have any more sparkling water in the fridge?
We have non-flavored sparkling water, if you just want bland sipping drink.
I do need a sipping drink.
See, this sparkling water is just how I stay. This is Armenian sparkling water, actually.
Ooh, okay. Well, welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
This is episode 186 of the
seven
of the Super Mega Cast. 187. Any updates on your life, dude?
Well, we've been stuck in quarantine. and here's something fascinating. I believe on the last episode, we found out mid-episode that coronavirus cases in the United States had passed 100,000. Since then, they've tripled. It's now over 300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all better start wearing a damn mask and staying indoors.
And the peak is apparently going to hit mid-April. That's what I've heard.
Really?
The peak in the United States. They're looking at potentially, this is what I've read and heard. It could be wrong. Do not listen, but like look it up for yourself to see if I am correct and make your own judgments. But I've heard that the peak in America could be something of like 4,000 deaths, something like that.
What?
In a day.
4,000 deaths in a day?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. That's really scary. Yeah, I mean the numbers.
But that's not like that's not like every day of May. It's like at the few days at the peak, I feel. Is that's what they've said.
I watched Vox did a really good video about a lot of people, my dad included, compare it to the flu. And they're like, oh, it's just, you know, the flu kills more people. And it was a really good video kind of breaking down like why it's not the same as the flu.
It's a different type of virus than the flu, too.
Yeah. Well, not even just the fact that it's like a different type of virus, but it showed a bunch of like statistics on why it's different, where basically the flu, when you get sick, like when you catch it, usually within 2 days is when, you know, like you show symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a pretty long time. And then once you realize that, then you quarantine yourself so you don't give it to other people. But with coronavirus, you have up to 12 days where you don't know you have it, but you're spreading symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and then you quarantine yourself. So it's like for the flu and coronavirus, those are flipped.
Yeah.
With each other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why... it's so bad because it can be spread, like, not like the flu. It can be spread for so long because you don't know you have it.
Do you think there's a potential that, you know, because earlier, a few episodes ago, I was talking about, I think I made the, you scratching, you got some crust on.
Yeah, what is that?
Kind of your gooch area.
It feels like I was feeling my gooch area.
Yeah,
on
you
my
started scratching vigorously.
And then it came
so
off.
I took,
what
no.
is it? Did I sit on something?
I don't know. Looks like you sat on a booger or something.
No,
like a big
it
old
feels
wet
like,
loogie.
I know what it is. I was eating a breakfast wrap in the car.
Is that egg
and
juice?
And some eggs fell out.
Okay.
And I believe that I probably sat on it.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Continue.
I was talking about how a few episodes ago, how we were talking about masks specifically and how the culture in the United States doesn't, it's not like Japan. So to wear masks in the United States, it's not as, it wasn't achieving as much as countries like Japan or South Korea, who use them on a day-to-day basis, even for something like the common cold, or if they have sniffles, or some people just use them for everyday, like kind of something to deter germs in general.
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking is, now that masks are being more prominent in the U.S., like I'm seeing it a lot more, will we develop a mask culture because of this?
Mm. Like after all this is over,
do you think Americans will be like, okay, well, it's done, throw away your mask? Or do you think we'll see videos of people burning their N95 mask, being like, it's done, we beat the virus?
I could see that as a real possibility. Shooting it with shotguns, like, yeah, lining up your masks and like shooting them with a shotgun.
Yeah,
we should do that on Super Mega.
But yeah, if you don't have like a mask, like you can wrap a T-shirt around your face. You can do anything. Just make sure you're covering your nose and your mouth, and put on some swimming goggles if you want to.
Yeah, that's very, very useful. I've seen a lot of people doing that.
I think wearing flippers helps as well.
I hope there's not one poor soul out there that fully takes that seriously and starts wearing swimming goggles out in public and stuff.
Look,
and because you've said that.
Well, technically, if they're wearing swimming goggles, that's protection.
It is. You can't.
If you wear swimming goggles, don't get the tinted ones, because it's going to be a bit hard to see.
Yeah. Get an extra pair of the tinted ones for if you're driving and the sun is
No, wait.
Think about when the sun is setting and you're driving. Have you ever been driving on Sunset Boulevard sun is setting?
Get little caps where you can, like, you know how dads have those glasses?
Yeah, but Ryan, not everyone has, you know, the privilege of access to nice swimming goggles like that.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
That's why you just got to get a pair of the regular and a pair of the tinted. So when you're driving and the sun starts beaming in your eyes, you can flip them out, change them out.
Yeah. The moral of the story is be responsible in public, because we're not talking about you being responsible for yourself. We're talking about you being responsible for the people in your community that could potentially have health complications and ultimately die because of this.
If my grandma dies because of one of you fuckers goes to Walmart and sneezes on her.
I'm so mad with my family right now, dude. And I hope my mom listens to this.
You're mad with your family?
I'm mad at my family, yeah. My mom's side.
You want to talk about it?
My mom will hear this, so yeah. It's just going to be another nail in the coffin of, hey, mom, listen. They're still letting my Oma go to, like, Walmart. Like, but they're like, it's a special senior hour. And I'm like, I don't care if it's a special senior hour.
That's like a hub for germs.
You want to go to, don't go to fucking Walmart in the middle of a pandemic with my grandmother.
That's a bad idea. That's a real bad idea.
She says they're getting better about it because they used to just take her to the grocery store. And I'm like, is she wearing a mask and gloves? My mom's like, I think she is going to start to. And I'm like,
Zip tie your hands to the bed frame.
that's what it's going to come
keep
down
her inside.
To. I don't know.
It's for her own good.
Look. My Oma is a very healthy woman, so she still has a lot of wonderful years left that I can spend with her, and I can eat her food, and she can tell me stories from back in the day. You just made a me eating her out motion with your hand. I'm just putting that on record. That will not happen.
How many times a day are you cranking it right now?
A good bit.
I can come up with a number.
I can't just go out and take a walk. I can't, like, I'll play video games. I'll watch a movie. Like, I will go out and take a walk, but I can't go out to, like, Venice Beach and people watch.
I've been doing little walks, mainly late at night. Just like, I'll put on a mask, go for a walk, just because it's like, I need to get out. And it feels good to take a little walk. I feel like I'm gonna go crazy if I don't start taking walks every day.
My days have become nothing but, like, watching, like, having a podcast or a YouTube video playing as I'm, no, not this podcast.
Oh.
As I'm playing a video game, and then I'll go and smoke some weed, and then somewhere in between that, I'll have masturbated 5 or 6 times. Like, I'm not going, like, I don't want to say stir crazy. If anything, I'm going crazy because of, I'm constantly looking at my phone of news updates, and the fact that these updates aren't really substantial in terms of, like, getting like checking to know the fridge. Yeah. It's like,
when you know that nothing's in
it's
there.
It's a perfect analogy for what's going on.
Because what I'll do is I really don't have any snacks in my place right now. And like it'll be like 11:30 at night and I'll be so hungry and I'll go in the kitchen and I'll be like, oh, I've already checked the fridge 4 times in the last hour, but maybe this time when I open it, I'll notice something I didn't notice before. And I'll like open it and like look all through the fridge and like, nope, still nothing. And then 20 minutes later, I'll be like, God, I'm hungry. I'm gonna go look at the fridge. That's why they gotta make clear fridges, man.
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't. That'd be nasty.
I'm surviving on mainly, I'd say, 3 foods. I'm surviving
on... cheese.
A cheese and mayo sandwich.
Tuna?
I haven't eaten tuna yet. I'm saving it.
Okay, wait.
But it's cheating because 2 of them are 2 different types of sandwiches. But
cheese and mayo sandwich?
Yeah.
PB&J?
Yep.
And then the 3rd food you're surviving on.
This should be easy because...
Is it Orion food?
It's. I mean, I've been on a kick and it's easy to make.
Lunchables?
No.
Hot Pockets?
No.
Is it frozen and you heat it up?
Refrigerated
and you heat it up?
No, it's not a meal like that.
Okay.
It's an easy-to-make meal.
Beans?
No.
Is it canned?
That I've been very obsessed with making, and I've probably made it once every week.
Ramdon?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's so easy, I just get steak and noodles, and it's filling.
It is really good, yeah.
It's not good for me, but the caloric intake is high. But I said I was starting to try to get healthy, watching what I eat. I still eat shit sometimes, but I watch the amount that I'm putting into my gullet. And I still need to make exercise a more prominent part of my kind of weekly life. But I have hit 200 pounds. So I've hit that 200 pound mark, which is kind of like the first goal.
Yeah.
And now I need to keep working at it. But I started at like 220.
Dude, that's big progress. 20 pounds?
Yeah, but it took me longer than it last time when I lost weight.
And isn't your ultimate goal 180?
Yeah, around there.
So you're halfway there.
Halfway there.
I stubbed my toe on the stairs. Here's something the quarantine has opened my eyes to. So
how gay you are?
That is... My eyes were partially open to that before the quarantine. The quarantine has solidified that a little bit. But I think what I hate, and it's so real, and you can probably relate on this, is when you first hear the idea of the quarantine, you're like, okay, so I'm going to have so much free time. You know, it's going to be nice. I'm going to be able to do so much stuff. And you don't. I sleep until 3:30 every day. I skip my Prozac half the day, so I feel like shit.
Let me tell you my sleep schedule right now, okay? I fall asleep. This is my bedtime between 5 and 8 a.m., and then I wake up in between 1 and 3 p.m. Because our job, the way we're doing our job is we come and do it for like 12 plus hours one day of the week. So we're really minimalizing the kind of us going out in general.
Yeah. But there's so much I want to be doing. I want to
make live action shit.
I want
to
be making...
This was supposed to be the year you and I were supposed to get back into making music videos and sketches and shit.
And now look what happened.
Well, you can still make music videos.
Yeah.
I'm not talented in that way.
Yes, you are.
No, but like, yeah, in terms of like, I don't know. I feel like just like when I worked with Daniel, like I really like working in a duo situation. I like kind of the... what is it?
There's energy, a word.
When you work together, the collaborative effort of a creative
synergy.
Project of like being stuck and all of a sudden one of you comes up with something.
Yeah.
All of a sudden
yeah.
the other person jumps in and you just start building. It's just like, it feels great. I like the rush of it. And when I'm alone, like I don't have the music. I don't feel like I have the natural musical knowledge and skill to like make kind of music. You not only have that, but you, have a passion for it. I don't have a passion for music like you do. But then we talk about sketches. I don't have anyone that lives with me but Lego.
Dude, you can make sketches with Lego.
There's a part of me where like I've been in the shower and I've been like, should I start making those one man sketches like I see a lot like on Twitter?
Like Gus.
But then I'm like, no, I'd make myself cringe doing that. Because like there's that whole thing where I don't have confidence in kind of me putting out. That's why I barely post on Twitter.
Well, I feel like obviously you.
I just like being silent.
You have a very low cringe tolerance where I think you're scared that you're going to be cringy, but
dude,
every time
it's because I've been the cringe. I've been a big. I've been a source of cringe in my life.
You think you have. And maybe to yourself it feels like that.
I go back and I look at some of the shit I made.
Dude, I look at some of the shit I made.
But what I'm saying is I feel like my cringiness was a little more recent. Yours is like YouTube videos when you were a kid.
Nah.
Mine is like Vine videos I was making when I was in college.
Dude, I still got cringy shit I was making in college. We got cringy shit we were making on Superman.
Yeah.
Everyone's got some cringe. You just gotta... Keep going. Make some more cringe.
I've been posting slightly more.
You have.
On
I have your notifications on, so when you do it, I'm like,
oh, there's a big story we haven't talked about. My first kind of big quarantine story. My buddy David, the little possum.
Oh yeah.
So,
I was like, who the fuck is David?
I was out one night smoking a ciggy. Masturbating in my backyard as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing mid yard in a puddle because I like the way it makes my feet feel when I'm high. Lego noticed something, so I put him inside and I go check. And on this wall, I see like kind of like this creature splayed out. And first, my head like it goes bat rat raccoon, baby raccoon, baby possum, baby raccoon. And so like I go to you and I'm like, hey, check this out. It's this baby raccoon / possum. And you saw it. It's this small little thing that can't really
like
it's stuck. It's just kind of like
just stuck on the wall.
And so then I just go back and I just kind of smoke. And I'm like, I guess he'll just crawl away. And as I'm smoking, I hear this like this thud. And I'm like, what? And so I go look, he's not on the wall anymore, and it's just kind of like laying on the ground. And I'm like, oh no. And so I kind of get worried because I'm like, this is young. And I start checking the area, and I'm like, there's no mom. So I wait for like 30 minutes. No chirps from a mom, because I know what, like, you know what possum chirps are in terms of like how they call it. It kind of sounds like yeah. Well, it kind of sounds like a bird. But if you look it up on YouTube like I did, you kind of will listen out for it. And I didn't see any other young possums. So... I was talking to you and some of my friends. I even called Ross, and then I ended up calling a vet to see what I should do about this situation. And I took their advice, which was to put it in a box with a towel, have some water and have some like mushed up apple, whatever in it, and then bring it to a rescue in the morning because it seems like it's an orphan possum.
Was the cutest possum. Like, I didn't think possums could be that cute. The pictures you sent me of that little guy.
And you
I
could
was
see
like,
where it fell. Like,
yeah,
it
you could see he bumped his nose. It was a little bloody. He was the cutest fucking possum. Like, he looked like a Pokemon or an Animal Crossing villager.
I still have pictures.
Dude, you got to share those pictures. That was...
On the video portion of the podcast, should I throw them up?
Yeah, you know, I don't mean to give you more work, but if you feel like it, maybe...
It would be like this picture.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
That's little David.
Little David. And, so then 2 hours pass and I'm kind of, it's like 5 a.m. I'm getting ready to actually head in and close my eyes and sleep. And in the morning, you know, figure out what to do with David. But then all of a sudden Lego starts acting just as strange, near this like kind of shed ish thing. It's not like a full shed.
Yeah,
it's
I know what you're talking about.
It's like a shitty... It's like a large dog house.
It's one of the places you go to masturbate.
Yeah. It's kind of like a large dog house, but not built for a dog. It's built to store like cardboard boxes.
Like a small man.
Yeah, small shed, I guess.
So you could put a small man in there.
And so I put Lego inside and I take my flashlight and I look. And there's a full grown possum. And I'm like, that has to be potentially the mother. I take the box outside. I sit it upright. The little one starts to chirp. And then the possum underneath starts to chirp back. And then I tilt it.
Aww.
They start chirping. I step away. Then the little guy runs under the little mini shed.
Oh, and I found his mom.
Found his mom.
That's so cute.
So it was a nice little kind of sweet quarantine story.
I know. You were texting me. It was like 4 a.m. and you were freaking out. You're like, I don't know what to do.
I get anxious because
You were like, should I not have put him in the box? Should I just have let nature? You're like, I don't know what to do.
Because in my head, I know it's cruel to think of, but when people are like, rescue orphan possums, I'm like, isn't that part of the wild where like coyotes and cats and other wildlife prey upon the young so they can sustain themselves. Like, that, it's just part of the circle of life. And I'm thinking, like, did I do the right thing by intervening? Because 5 minutes after I took him inside, there was this white house cat that was, like, patrolling that area where he was kind of... Because I didn't mention this, I don't think, but when he fell, he stayed in the exact same place for, like, an hour.
Yeah, he probably was just so scared because that's their fucking defense mechanism.
But, like, I'd go inside, wait 30 minutes, come back out, be like, okay, he hasn't moved a bit. Like, he's alive and, like, looking around, but I feel like he got disoriented from the fall potentially. Because he was, when he went running to his mom, he was, like, in the box. After he kind of had some time to rest, he was very alert.
Yeah.
But
I found a duckling once that had been, like, abandoned by the rest of the pack, and he was on the side of the pond I live near, and I'd seen a lot of ducklings out with their mom. It was that time of year, but this one was by himself and he was like tweeting a bunch on his Twitter account, and I was like, oh fuck, I gotta take him in, but my parents wouldn't let me, and then eventually the mom did come back. I saw
really
him, yeah, and took him back, but I guess he just got lost. He was a cute possum though, and when I went to that place where I got to touch the monkeys and stuff, they had a possum that they brought out and talked about. And they showed the possum off, and they said some people that, like, take possums in as babies, the problem is they can't be let back out because then they'll go up to humans and be too friendly, and then people will freak out and call animal services and get them killed.
Yeah, me and this guy weren't buddies, so I don't.
He
think
was cute though.
Yes.
I wish I could have pet him. Well, I shouldn't touch him, but I wish I could have seen him in person.
Yeah.
And I hope his nose is all healing. Speaking of animals, Wanda, our dove, she's
still there.
She's still there. She's sitting on.
Kind of surprised us today because we kind of forgot about Wanda.
Yeah.
And then we looked up and lo and behold, she's still sitting on her eggs.
Sitting on her eggs, or maybe her babies. Maybe they hatched already.
Do they sit on their babies after they hatch? Uh-huh. Keep them warm,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, keep them warm.
Because they're all naked and gross looking.
Yeah. I want to know if she has eggs in there or there's babies in there. Let's go pick her up and pull her out for a second and go look underneath and put her back. She's cute though. She just sits. She looks so goddamn scared though. Every second we're out there, she's like,
How are the three ladies back at your place?
My orchid mantises, they are fantastic.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
I'm having a bit of a problem. I'm having to get some fruit flies alive.
I watched you feed them. I love watching you feed them, dude.
It's like, cool. I did it last, not last night.
We had a movie marathon. Are we having one this week, right? With
yeah, we are.
Joe Dirt. And what was the other one? We're doing Joe Dirt 1 and 2.
No, we're doing a French movie.
Of course.
To begin. But you know what French movie, right?
No.
It's by a Japanese director.
Okay.
By Oshima, I think. Here, you've seen one scene from it.
Huh?
It's a dinner party. And they bring in a special guest.
It's a dinner party. Is it the French version of Dinner for Schmucks?
No.
What?
It's like a
because
70s.
Dinner for Schmucks was based
it's like a 70s
on a...
French movie that was directed by a really famous Japanese director. It's the one about the monkey.
What?
The woman that falls in love with the monkey.
I have not seen a scene from this movie.
We sent it.
You told me about this.
Remember, we're like they're at a dinner party and they have a pet like chimp and they bring him in.
Did you send me a clip?
Yeah, yeah. It was in our group chat a long time ago.
I don't remember. Well.
But yeah, Orchid Mantises are good. A bit of a crisis because I had this culture of fruit flies that are like, they can't fly, and that's what I was feeding them with.
Mm-hmm.
And they suddenly overnight all died.
Do they not eat like dead things, mantises? Do they prefer?
No,
like,
they won't eat anything that doesn't move. So like, well, it's not even that they didn't die. They're just like, I looked and because the day before there were hundreds of them in there and it's disgusting. You saw the thing.
Yes.
It's gross. It's just basically a plastic
it's
container
moist and...
full of garbage stuff and a million fruit flies.
Yeah.
And I have to open it and get them out to feed the mantises. But all of a sudden, they're all just like, we're going to check out. So I got to get more. I think they passed their lifespan or they all got coronavirus.
How long can mantises go without eating?
See, that's the thing is I don't know. But I'm making
you can
sure.
Look it up on Google.
I probably, yeah. Well, I don't know because different stages in their lives too.
They only live for 8 months, right?
Yeah. But I've been getting, like while I'm waiting for the other stuff to come, I'm getting like bugs from outside.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you find?
It's easy to find little tiny bugs outside, like in my garden. I mean, I can just drop one in and they'll attack. They're so fast. I took one of them out last night and I had her on my hand and she jumped from one hand to the other, just like. It was so cool. They're beautiful. Well, I was trying to show you how they really like honey and you can give it to them as a treat. And I tried to give one of them honey. And
oh, she attacked.
She's attacking.
She
got honey
all really aggressive.
I know. They are the bigger they get, they're getting more aggressive now where I can't take them out as much because they start to jump. So like I'll be holding it and they'll just jump away like instantly. And they're getting all feisty. So I got bigger containers for them though. I got, some new containers from this website and I put new dirt in there and new plants and stuff like that. So they're doing good. I need to post pictures. The problem is I haven't been posting that many pictures cause it's kind of hard to get a good picture of them. They're still pretty small. But it's just kind of hard to get a good picture. They camouflage so
when they
well.
Get big.
I saw a video of someone holding
plenty.
One of what they look like in like about a month or two. And I can't wait.
How? So they just grow fast.
They'll get like this big. I can't wait.
Are there bigger enclosures or are there new big ones, the ones that they...
No, they could stay in these. It said that all they need is a container like 2 times as wide and like 3 times as tall or something.
Okay.
Or something like that. So they don't need a huge container. And the one I have for them now should be good for several months.
Yeah.
Maybe once they become like full adults, I'll have to get a bigger one.
But then they'll only live in for like a month when they're full adults, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or a few months at least.
Yeah, but... Oh, I wanted to tell you about this.
What?
So I've been really bored and...
Was it what you watched last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a friend over and they wanted to watch like trash TV. So we put on America's Next Top Model season 4. And I've never watched America's Next Top Model except when my sister would watch
Who's the main host?
Tyra Banks.
I don't like Tyra Banks.
Yeah, I don't really like her either.
I don't like her kind of like demeanor.
Yeah, she seems a little like holier than thou.
Yes.
Like,
But I feel like a lot of the top model people do. Same when you watch cooking shows. A lot of the chefs that are judging are like,
I have something to bring up on that tangent afterwards.
Okay.
But basically, started season 4, which is from 2005. And I watched 4 or 5 episodes. And I don't like that show. It's not up my alley. And also, you can tell, like, back in 2005, like, they're so mean. They're so, like, She's like, I will, like, they'll be weighing the girls and they're like, ooh. And she's like, I will lose the 10 pounds. I will. I promise. I have to. And like,
you were watching Bruno and just the parents where it's like, can your child lose 10 pounds in a week? And she's like, yeah. If she has the job, then she's going to do what she has to do.
10 pounds in a week.
You can't
starve them. You can't. Like, anyway, what happens is in America's Next Top Model, every episode they have challenges, you know, where it's like, in this episode, models, you're gonna...
Just like any reality TV show, when you think of like even The Bachelor, even the new one on Netflix, which was The Circle, there's always challenges.
So I could not believe my eyes when 10 million fireflies
lit up the world and I fell asleep.
They go, all right, models, for today's challenge, you're gonna be taking on different ethnicities. And I was like, no way. They go to like this white girl, like, Michelle, you're going to play an African-American woman. And they just put her in full blackface.
What?
And I was like screaming. I was watching. I was like, no way. They made everyone dress up. Like, they made one girl Asian.
Did you take pictures?
I did. I took pictures. They put a big afro on her and they bring in like a little black child for her to hold.
Why did they do this?
I was like, no way. Here, I'll show you the pictures.
I got
America's Next.
Hold on.
Because I was like, I thought I would have heard about this. Top Model blackface. Look at this. And I, hold on, let me try to find like here we go. Like, here's a picture of them putting it on.
Jesus.
Like, they were like legit just putting them fully in blackface and they gave her an afro. I took a picture of the girl in an afro. Hold on. Here.
Oh my word.
It was a campaign for Got Milk.
Got Milk?
Yeah, they made one girl like Korean. They made one Native American. Indian. Yeah. They made her Indian.
Did they actually use these in advertisements?
Yeah, it was for Got Milk. And that was only 15 years ago.
Oh my God.
Let me see.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I was just freaking out. I was like, holy shit. I couldn't believe they were doing this.
Oh, that's weird. That's so weird.
And you could tell how much times have changed. Like they had a black model doing like poses and she looked perfectly fine. And like one of the guys was like, stop with the ghetto faces. And it's like, what?
Ghetto faces?
Yeah, they kept calling the girl ghetto. Like the black
girl.
Because
she was mean mugging probably?
No, I couldn't tell what was up. She just looked normal. And they were like, let's lose the ghetto faces. I was like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, it was a wild, wild show. I don't know if I'm going to watch more, but after that I was like, I kind of want to see what else they do on this show.
What was the tangent with judges and...
Not judges, with... You said cooking show.
Yeah, cooking shows.
The new Cooking Mama game for Switch just came out.
Did you buy it?
No. Did you hear about what happened with it, though?
No.
So, I read about this briefly on Twitter, which you know is the best source for...
News.
For news and for things accurate. What I read is apparently it was only on the eStore for 4 hours before they pulled it because they found out that the developer... They had a different developer do this one, I think, and was secretly using the game to use people's Switches to mine Bitcoin.
Oh, my God.
So Cooking Mama was being used as like a cryptocurrency miner, so they pulled it off of the eShop. Because I saw Cooking Mama was trending today. I was like, oh, the new Cooking Mama's out. And I was just reading about it, and it seems insane. I didn't know Cooking Mama could do such a...
So how does it work?
I don't know how Bitcoin mining works. You know how it's like you have to use like different, like computers have to like mine cryptocurrency somehow? Here, Cooking Mama, Nintendo Life posted this article. Cooking Mama, Cookstar pulled from Switch eShop amid accusations of mining cryptocurrency. Developers deny claims. People have been speculating that the reason Cooking Mama Cookstar has been pulled from the eShop is due to the fact that it mines cryptocurrency using the processing power of the Switch owners who download it to their systems. When the game was first revealed, the developers mentioned blockchain technology, a fact which has inspired these recent accusations. As the developers, we can say with certainty there is no cryptocurrency or data collection or blockchain or anything else shady in the code. The Nintendo Switch is a very safe platform with none of the data and privacy issues associated with some mobile and PC games. Huh. Yeah, but they pulled it off of the eShop.
There's no problem with it, but...
I really... Hold on, update two. We have worked with a user who has a physical copy and can at first... And at first appearances confirmed the following. Game works offline. Game works without a linked account. Works on a formatted console. Currency and blockchain appears removed. Huh. So that's something interesting to follow. I do want that game. I love Cooking Mama.
Well, I mean, speaking of watching things, you and I need to talk, my man.
Yeah, we do.
We need to have a bit of an intervention because...
it's only been 1 week, Ryan. It's only been 1 week.
For one, you still have yet to take a gross-ass bong hit of any, you know, it was just going to be some sort of...
Well, it's going to be mop water. Beverage. But you're holding me back on that one.
Okay. So that's... I'm the excuse for that one. You still haven't masturbated to Big Mama's House 2. That was months ago, man.
Ryan,
that
can
was
I be honest with
ago.
You?
Were we in the Grump's office when we did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, can I just be upfront with you? And I've said this before.
Yeah.
Every day, I take Prozac. Kills my libido. Makes it impossible to jerk off.
You said
off.
Recently you haven't been taking your Prozac.
Yeah, I've been on and off, but I'm trying to get better about it.
Odds are things aren't supposed to be easy. It's a challenge.
Yeah, you're but dude, if I can't even crank it to porn because my libido is so low, how am I supposed to crank it to a fucking scene from Big Mama's House 2 to completion?
That's your problem. You lost the odds are.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is on me.
And you have still yet to watch the three movies, even though you had a week time to do so.
Dude.
Did we talk in the last podcast?
No, we didn't talk about.
Well, we had an odds are. I think we might have talked about it in Animal Crossing, but we had an odds are where I asked Matt, what are the odds that you have to watch a three movie marathon of movies of my choice?
We did talk about this.
Okay, in the podcast.
I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Just to catch people up, you said two, you lost, so you had to watch three movies. The movies I chose were How to Save a Life, Lord of the Rings, and The Fellowship of the King, or whatever. Return of the King.
Which is the last one, which is 3.5 yeah. hours.
And then Laquisha. So I'm just saying, I mean, you got to at least do one. You got to do one soon. I feel like the movie marathon, you're going to have to...
Movie marathon, now's a perfect time. I'm in quarantine. Tomorrow...
I called you and you just... And your words were, I just didn't feel like it today.
I didn't, man. You can't blame... Yeah, okay. It's an odd
But
start.
You're not supposed
I
to
know,
feel like
I know,
it.
I know,
it's supposed
I know.
To be shitty. Oh, hold up.
What?
I have something to confront Justin on, too. Hold up.
In the next week, I promise. By the next podcast, I will have watched all three.
Yeah?
Gotta confront Justin. Hello?
Hey, Justin.
What's up?
Just, I'm having an intervention with Matt, and I'm looping you in on this.
Wait, hold on, you just broke up. What's up?
I said we're having an intervention, kind of, and I needed to clue you in on something.
Okay.
Have you watched that movie yet?
Delgo?
Yeah, Delgo. Have you watched Delgo yet?
No, I told you I'm watching it tonight.
Promise?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, good. Because I was just getting on Matt for not watching the movies, and I know you haven't watched. I was having.
Does he
I was
know
making
what I have
sure,
to watch?
Yeah, he knows what you know what Matt has to watch, right?
What's next?
Well, Matt. Well, I mean, he still hasn't watched his movies.
Has to watch
the
them back to back.
He hasn't watched any of them.
Nope. He has to watch them back to back. It's a marathon. But he didn't do it. He had a week. If I remember,
there's
Justin,
sanctity to a what are the odds where you have to follow through.
I am following through.
But
I'm going to do it.
It's definitely been over a week for you too, Justin. But I'm glad that you're doing it today.
Tonight's the week deadline.
Is it?
Yeah, that's why it's tonight.
Okay.
Damn, he ain't gonna come for my next.
I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry.
He's coming.
I'm just making sure you're watching it. You have to. You know.
Well, Justin,
no,
at least you don't have to.
I wanted to see Delgo. Don't worry. I'm excited. See, I'm
Delgo's
I'm
a horrible animated
through.
Movie.
I'm excited to follow through to watch the movie that my friend played a What Are the Odds with me for. But I understand that some people might not be as excited to do so.
Well, Justin, I've never seen any Lord of the Rings movies, and I have to watch the final one, which is bordering 4 hours long.
Okay.
As the middle move.
Doesn't that sound like his problem since he lost the odds are?
See, I'm just trying to understand, because if I'm being honest right now, it just sounds like a little bitch on the phone, but you said you were talking to Matt. And I know Matt's not a little bitch.
No, Matt isn't a little bitch. He's proven. He ate a cockroach live on camera.
I've known Matt for 3 years now, and Matt's not a little bitch, is he?
No.
No, I'm not a little bitch.
No, I don't believe Matt to be a little bitch either.
No, I'm going to sit my ass down. I'm gonna watch Loquisha. I'm going to watch Lord of the Rings, the final one, and I'm going to watch the Steven Crowder.
How to Save a Life.
The school shooting Christian movie.
He doesn't shoot anyone in the school. He just shoots himself.
Oh, spoilers, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really?
It happens.
I thought there was going to be some action.
It happens in the very beginning. I'm sorry.
Damn, dude. I thought there was going to be like some crazy school shooting scene.
It's in the trailer. I'm sorry.
I thought he killed a bunch of people.
But no.
So he just kills himself.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
From what I remember. I mean, you have to remember I watched this with my youth group.
Oh, that's right. You did see it. Okay.
But, All right. Justin, it was good hearing from you. Sorry I came off a little antagonistic at first, but I hope you're having a good day.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay. Does Justin know about the masturbation thing?
Good talk.
Yeah. See it.
All right. See
I feel like he does. I feel like he's edited. He probably edited that episode.
Videos where we've talked about it.
But that's the thing, you know? You've eaten a roach. You know?
I've gone to the depths of hell and back.
You go up to people in public and... You have said things that could have gotten you punched in the face. It's particularly at a bar with an Armenian man in a nice getup, apparently. Threatened to deck you in the face.
Yeah, that one didn't make the cut, but that
you have the gumption to pull this off. I believe in you. It's not gonna be easy.
That dude was pissed at me.
Yeah, he was. I remember you walked out of that. You came right at Daniel and you were like, keep walking.
He was about to fucking punch me in the face.
You were afraid you were...
Dude, I thought he was like a gangster.
You thought he was a part of the Armenian mafia and he was going to shoot you.
So this guy, for context, way old Kids of Problems video, which
before
was...
Before we move on to the story.
Yeah.
You will watch those
I movies. Will watch them before the next podcast.
Okay.
Okay.
You got to send me Snapchats as you're watching.
Of course I will. I'll FaceTime you and shit.
Okay.
And I'm not going to cheap out. I honor what are the odds. It might take me a little longer sometimes, but I honor what are the odds.
That sounds good.
I promise.
Good. And how about this?
Set up that bong rip for me. I will do it.
And how about this, Matt? For the not to completion with Big Mama's House 2, but you at least have to give half an hour of trying.
Dude, I can't masturbate for half an hour.
I'm sorry. It's
my dick doesn't work that
to
way.
To completion or you masturbate
my dick's going
to
be raw? Dude, I can't. I have a horribly hard time masturbating to porn these days.
So, I mean, you can.
My dick is like a Vienna sausage that is just flimsy and just. I can slap it around. It won't stay hard. I'm being very open right now with my personal matters.
Get some. I don't know.
Hire a prostitute to come jerk me off while I watch.
Yes. I mean, think of. I don't know. They need work right now.
Sex workers do need work. I mean, what about maybe a friend?
A friend works. I mean, I feel like I'm already a part of it. You could probably ask Harrison or Jackson.
Well, I mean, you're the biggest part of the joke with me. I mean, kind of fits, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the odds are you have to.
It's not. It wouldn't be gay.
You were telling a story. I think you were going on something.
Fuck. What was I saying? Oh yeah, he was you know, one of the funniest videos I think I've ever made was that boner pills video. Yeah. Hysterical stuff. And I was asking people, I needed help sustaining an erection, actually. This is fits with what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went up to this guy at the bar, smooth talking a woman. And you could tell he was in the zone with the smooth talking. He was probably a 28.
Were you taller than him? Because you're a tall boy.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So he was
he wasn't short. He was probably
was he average Armenian height?
Average guy, but very suave. Clearly had a lot of money. Nice suit. And I asked myself.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I'm just saying there's an average height of people of a particular background.
Yeah, he was pretty average, but he was fit. He was young. A lot of cologne. Dark suit. Looked like he could have been doing some illegal business dealings. And I asked him the funny question. I said, "Sir, hey, you look like you're good with the ladies." And I said this like in between him and the girl. I was like, "Yeah, I see you over here. You look like you're pretty good with the ladies. I've been having a bit of a problem myself, sustaining an erection. Do you have any tips or do you know where I can get anything for that?" And he goes, "What?" And I was like, "You know, I'm sure you don't have that problem." And he was like, "You get the fuck out of my face before I sock you in your fucking mouth." And I was like, okay. And I walked away.
How much
like,
of that did we actually keep in the video?
None. I don't think
you were afraid to post it publicly.
Oh yeah, I think I was scared the dude was gonna like come after me.
Yeah,
I would post it now because I have no value for my own life. But back then I was very scared.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I kind of miss going out and doing the public stuff. I think the last
thing I love doing those.
The last thing I ever did like that.
E3?
I guess, yeah, it was E3.
Dude, those are my favorite types of video. I want to do more on the street sketches.
Those are my favorite. Because you and I watched Borat and Bruno, but like in terms of comedy, that's kind of the style I like creating. I like mixing a narrative with real
life. With real life. Because it's you don't know what's going to happen. Like Nathan For You is an example of that. Speaking of Borat, we did a movie marathon. Ryan came over this week.
First movie we watched was The Wailing.
We watched The Wailing, which is a Korean movie, which I missed the final 10 minutes of.
It was a good movie.
I don't know how it ended. I'm going to go back and watch the ending. I just got... Final 10 minutes, I got hit with like the worst nausea.
Which is weird because the final 10 minutes is where it drops a lot. And that's the final 10 minutes is like, so what do you think? That's what the movie is kind of doing.
Yeah. Well, I got nauseous and I laid down and then came back in, cleaned up. We watched Borat. Then we watched Bruno.
Yep.
So I have been doing 3 movie marathons lately.
Yes. So you're getting prepared. You know? And this week, Joe Dirt, I think, right?
A French movie. Joe Dirt and Joe Dirt 2.
I think so.
I didn't know they made Joe Dirt 2.
It came out on like Crackle or some shit like that.
Oh, that's how you know it's bad.
I saw David Spade interviewing the Tiger King people. That was recommended to me recently. And one of the people featured goes by he pronouns.
Okay.
Biologically female, goes by he, him pronouns. Okay. And so I'm reading through the comments and I see a comment that says, she's kick ass or something like that. And then a comment then responds to them going, I know the doc misgendered him, but he identifies as a trans man. Please use preferred pronouns with a smiley face. It was not like a call out. It was just kind of like a very
friendly reminder.
And the person responds with, fuck you. And then another person responds down below, that's a woman. Her chromosomes can't be changed and she has a real pussy and tits. So she's a female. Keep living in a fantasy. And then there was a bunch of facts don't care about your feelings. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just have decency for other people.
I know. That's the thing. Like it's just a common, like a level of decency, a respect for other people.
But these people will say as an argument, I am being decent. I don't want to. I think that they have a mental disorder and that I'm adhering to that. And I'm giving that mental disorder credence. And regardless of your opinion of it, my problem lies between this person saying that a person that they thought was cool, they kick ass. Then when someone politely says they prefer these pronouns and they said it publicly and there's a problem right now with this person being misgendered, and you can imagine how that person feels right now. And their response is, fuck you. Oh, facts don't care about your feelings. It's like, yeah, but there's no one's attacking you for misgendering. It was like a reminder.
Well, it's these people that feel like they feel like they're right and they have to be right. Like, yeah. And they're so confident they're right on this situation. That
my grandmother just died. Well, most people who die in a given day are old. But that doesn't change the fact that I fucking loved her, man. Well, facts don't care about your feelings.
Do they?
A lot of people die. And so then I started watching this. A clip became popular and these people conflating that I would somehow think that someone's grandmother dying is equivalent to that of a mental disorder. And I find that particularly repulsive and totally out of any semblance of reality that we're supposed to be living in.
You're good at Ben Shapiroing.
I know.
You're good at Shapiroing, my man.
I know.
The thing is, what also baffles me is it's kind of the same group of people. I see a lot of people on Twitter and Reddit and stuff where it's like they're so repulsed and bothered by people using different pronouns, and they make such a big deal out of it. And it's like, fucking, if that's...
I get it does go too far in some areas. You know what I mean?
Like people that want to use pronouns where it's like XE, like pronouns that it's just like...
Not even that, but like even people being malicious in intent when they are correcting people
in terms of
pronouns. There is a negative, and I'm not even trying to say there is a right answer in terms of how you should go about this. I'm just trying to say, have some fucking common decency when a person's been nothing but respectful and kind. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I just think, yeah, exactly. And I think it doesn't like...
They show you respect, show them respect back. That's
like, why is it hard to call someone by whatever pronouns they want to go by? It's like, it doesn't affect your life or change your life. You know, it's like... Yeah.
Well, the part of their whole thing is they don't want to benefit this person's quote unquote delusion.
Okay.
As I said, I do listen to a lot of both sides in terms, you know, I remember a lot of people got on me. He's like, where people were saying you shouldn't be listening to Ben Shapiro if you're listening to like right wing. He's not a good representation of right wing politics. And in my head, I'm like, I think he's absolutely the right representation for right wing politics because he carries all of the, you know, the ideals that right wing people have, at least in terms of the right wing people that I know personally back in South Carolina or even that I've met out here.
Yeah, because there's different groups, you know, how there's like, there are like traditional Republicans.
Yeah.
And then there's more of kind of like this modern right.
He's a conservative. Yeah. And I feel like I have to say this again. I do not agree with pretty much almost everything that he says. And, you know, I agree with him on some things, like water is wet. It's very obvious. But there are some things where in terms of opinion, like misgendering or in certain things that his opinions on the economy, I disagree with. I'm not listening to him because I am a fan. I'm listening to him because I want to know what the other's argument is.
You've always been into like diving into the other side and kind of seeing.
I like picking it apart because I can see.
That's why people like watching debates.
Yeah.
You know,
I think debates are one of the most important things, like conversations, long-term conversations between two intellectuals who disagree, come together and discuss their ideas.
My dad used to watch them. I've watched a lot of political debates, but I would like to watch theology debates. I would like to watch some of the famous debates between like famous atheists and Christians.
Haven't
seen any, but I feel like that would be really interesting because you know, so much of that is based on personal feeling.
Yes. There is a problem, though, and it's something that you will have to come over, is like some of the people you listen to who make arguments that are logical, they're assholes. Kind of pompous.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of the famous atheists.
Richard Dawkins and
Christopher Hitchens.
Christopher Hitchens is a big... Well, Christopher Hitchens intentionally liked to spark kind of people's anger.
Are they kind of like the role model-esque for like the douchebag fedora atheist?
I feel like Bill Maher might be more of that. Because
you're really good at doing Bill Maher impression. You shocked me that one time. I was like, holy shit.
God's not real, okay?
And, you know,
I
wish you could have seen Bill Maher live.
I made him sound like the South Park dude.
Like Mr. Garrison.
Garrison, yeah. But in terms of those debates, though, they did, when I was religious, they did point out the faults in what I believed, and it kind of flipped me around, and I started to think, and that's how I got out of religion, was listening to these debates. And then, you know, as I went on further, I still disagreed with some of these people, like Christopher Hitchens had this whole article, which I think is goofy, where it's like his whole purpose, the whole point was women can't be funny, and because they don't,
that's right,
because they don't need to be funny, because evolutionarily they don't need to use it as a peacocking mechanic in terms to, you know, get a mate. And so that was his whole thing. And in my head, I'm like, I understand what the argument is. I just think it's silly. But he is an actual like smart person who, when he goes and debates religion, makes very valid arguments.
Yeah.
Makes very good points, and he's very well read. Same with Richard Dawkins. It's just that it's hard sometimes for people, it's hard to break that barrier of douchiness and kind of listen.
Because smart people are very capable of saying very dumb things. And I think like that Richard, was it Christopher Hitchens that did the women can't be funny thing?
Yeah, it was
that's just ridiculous.
It was on Rolling Stones, I think. And then I can't remember where it was, but then I think the female comedians on SNL at the time did a counter like photo shoot. it was this thing that I think it was back when I was in high school, potentially.
Yeah, it was a while
back. He passed away.
He had cancer, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Unfortunately.
Well, you know, if he had accepted God, maybe that wouldn't have happened. It's a lot of comments about that.
I will say,
it's like, that's fucked up to say.
Even though he is most known for taking on religion, what I found to be the most interesting conversations that Christopher Hitchens kind of gave publicly or with other people was the conversations about immortality and how his view on death and life as he has cancer.
Theologian that I do listen to from time to time on YouTube. And I'm not a religious person.
The Amazing
person.
Atheist.
Yes. No, I'm not a religious person at all. I wouldn't say I'm an atheist, but I'd say I'm an agnostic. But I think that there's one guy I listen to named John Butler. And the main reason I listen to him is because he has the most buttery deep voice I've ever heard. He's this old, like wise man with a big white beard.
Mm-hmm.
And he does just talks on things on YouTube, but he's so calming to listen to. And he just kind of gives like, they're very loaded with Christianity, but they're very kind of just like inspiring.
Yeah.
And just you can just tell he has just like, even though I don't agree with him on the Christianity stuff, he has so much wisdom throughout his life that he just like offers. And he always does tie it back to God and stuff, which is where the disconnect for me is. But like overall, he's a great guy to listen to. And he makes a lot of really, really like positive points.
What I champion personally and I find important, it's you should continue to listen to people who you disagree with morally or in terms of your religion. You can listen to them, see where you disagree, but you can still kind of take something out of their argument, whether it's positive or negative. In your case, it's positive. For John Butler, you said his name was?
Yeah, and I do think that honestly, and maybe you might disagree with me on this, I think that there are some people whose, in my mind, whose opinions and way of thinking is like so despicable that like I'm not even going to listen to it. For instance, like a white supremacist or something.
Well,
like I'm not.
I feel like there's so much history in terms of white supremacy that, in my case, it's different than listening to someone like Ben, because if there's so much history tied to white supremacy that I kind of get the ideals they're going for, and I'm disgusted, and I kind of have my conclusion of I don't like white supremacy because it's a very simple conclusion to come to, and I understand where they're coming from. I just think it's gross and I don't see things like they do. But in Ben, in terms of some of the things that he says are also despicable from a point of view of other people, and some of the things that he says makes me roll my eyes and yes, I think are despicable. But I feel like he is a voice that is widespread in the current political climate in terms of conservatives. Therefore, he holds a very important voice to understand the arguments that a lot of people on the internet on the right, or just in general on the right, are having. Not a lot of people are white supremacists on the right. There is a collective of white supremacists.
Yeah.
But I think we all in America, because we grew up in America, understand where white supremacy comes from.
Yeah.
And that it shouldn't be a part of our politics.
Oh yeah. Which unfortunately there is a group of people that are on the opposite spectrum of thinking. But yeah. listen to this guy's voice real quick. This is
coronavirus.
Who is this, him?
That's his voice.
Well, I've always loved the fact that the word understanding really means to stand.
Oh, that sounds so relaxing.
Dude, I love listening to him to fall asleep because, like, yeah, he does talk a lot about Jesus and stuff, but, like, he just has so much other wisdom. Like, his videos are, like, how to deal with thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And
videos on love and stuff.
And something else to bring up. I just don't listen to, like, the right. And Ben isn't the only person on the right I will listen to. I also will listen to things like the Majority Report, which from what I've listened to, I deem is kind of like the opposite side of the coin. Maybe not directly to Ben, but of someone of Ben's ilk, because those are people that have very left-leaning ideals and they are very straightforward and adamant about them. And they kind of make fun of other people who don't have those ideals.
Young Turks too, I guess.
Young Turks are, especially the Young Turks are like that. So, there are good Medium like articles to read, which are usually just kind of like studies and pieces on a given subject. But in terms of like news, like you're never ever going to find the most centrist thing. The best you can do is listen to both sides, find some good articles that don't really seem to have or videos even that don't seem to have a bias and kind of form your own opinions from that. I feel like it's important to have as much collective data as you can.
Yeah. I see, and I still see people sometimes talk online about when we talk about politics and they don't know where we lie in terms of the political spectrum, which maybe it's just they haven't listened to us enough. Mm-hmm. I think as I've grown up, my political views have shifted several times. I think near the beginning of Super Mega, when I would consider myself a lot more edgy, I think I was a lot more
like internet conservative.
Kind of in a way. I mean, I've always
that vibe, not like
I've been left. I've always been left, but I think I was not as left when we started Super Mega. And I think just the older I got and the more I started to kind of understand myself as a person and the world around me,
mm-hmm.
I've become a lot more left.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no, it's not a secret that I don't want to say like far left, but I'm pretty left.
Yeah. You have
very left-leaning views.
Yes.
I'm a big proponent of things like democratic socialism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which a couple 15-year-olds on Twitter might not like me saying that, but just those are my views. Speak them.
Well, it's important in a democratic society to have a wealth of different viewpoints so you can talk and discuss about them so you can come to ultimately the best solution, which we never come to in America, but that's the idea.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like if you're listening and you are right-leaning or you don't like my views on politics, that's fine. That's okay. Everyone has different views.
And there are some, like, as I, even on my side, you know, there are people who suspect that I'm like, they're like, is Ryan like Republican or something? I've never considered myself Republican or conservative. There are some of their values where I look into, but I'd say I'm definitely mostly left. And most of like when in terms of like politics, democratic socialism is something that I also support. In terms of the idea, and I just kind of want to see things come together to where I can actually see how we would pull it off here.
Yeah.
It's an idea that I like the idea of it.
The idea of it, yeah, I think I would like to see it implemented because I feel like it would make America a much better country.
You know me. I mean, I think you would feel very comfortable in saying that I am on the left.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I do have, I don't know, I find myself.
You're more center left, maybe.
Yeah, center left.
Yeah.
Where I'm not saying that I don't support certain types of people. That's just I'm not as.
That's your worldview, though, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, though. I'm trying to explain. It's weird. I don't know.
I know your political standings just because we're best friends. So yeah. I know where you stand on things.
I'm not a closeted
cuck
bigot, I would hope. I feel like I'm not. I feel like I look at things and I am very fair in how I look at them and judge them.
Yeah.
And I know that's like self-congratulatory, but I'm talking about like how I see things politically. That's how I view things. I try
very analytical.
Yeah. And it's hard because when I was, there was a point where I was very kind of going into like the left, but then like recently also there's just some things that like people on the left did because of political motivations and that I'm like, God damn it.
Are you talking about stuff related to Bernie Sanders?
No. I'm talking mainly about stuff related to COVID-19.
Mm.
There's a lot of stuff most of the stuff President Trump did is awful. And a lot of Republican governors were misleading the public. But there are also, I think, Democratic leaders who were misleading the public to go out when they shouldn't have been going out. And, I don't know. I just feel like right now, the reason like I've kind of been in a weird spot at home in a headspace, cause I see the seriousness of this pandemic that's going on, but every country and every state or somebody is using it for some political jab.
When everyone's looking away, it's a good time for people that, you know, make their entire living off of taking advantage of systems and taking advantage of, different things. What perfect time to take advantage of shit than when the entire world is, you know.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of sad just looking at things. But it's glad that we're finally making steps. I just feel like the underlying things that are going on are to help rich friends of, you know,
And the steps that are being made should have been made over a month ago.
Yes.
America has massively mishandled this pandemic so far. And I see people, I saw an interesting thing that was like, non-Americans, like, what does the situation in our country look like for the rest of the world? And they're like, people just say we look like idiots right now because of the handling of this pandemic. And we just like, what are you doing? Like, we should,
Sweden? Who also?
Yes.
Sweden was stupid as fuck.
Sweden said, like, oh,
go to bars.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Of course, Alabama. We don't need to talk about it, but we all know what the governor of Alabama said. Yeah, we just got news that it can pass. Did he find out it could pass through the air? Is that what he found out?
And Florida. Florida was like, oh, I just found out yesterday that it could be spread through. It's like, where have you been, dude?
There's no surprise given it's Alabama.
Yeah, those states are.
Alabama is like, if there's one southern state where it's like, what is the kind of backyard cousin in a doghouse? It's Alabama.
Alabama just like, it's their track record, man. Alabama just, friend, like Roy Moore, you know, it's like, all right. It's like Alabama just kind of does it to themselves. And there's many, many wonderful people from Alabama.
Oh, yes.
I'm just saying Alabama as a state doesn't have the best reputation.
Neither does South Carolina.
And I'll say one.
Possibly, South Carolina has some of the worst crimes.
I don't want to stand on like a high horse right now from South Carolina. Like, oh, being from South Carolina, I understand.
Yeah,
South Carolina's pretty bad too. I think,
but that's all we're doing. We're just recognizing these states are awful, like not run well, and also terrible things happen within these states that are a highlight of the culture.
When are they going to legalize weed?
When are they?
Never.
Well, apparently, I don't know if this is a. You know, I have to be wary of everything you hear. That's why, remember, people, whatever we say, take it with a grain of salt.
Also, I'm going to say something that you might disagree with that has been up for debate about, you know, the whole states' rights versus, you know, country, like government.
There is a problem with government getting too big.
I think that a national mandate for stay indoors, though, should be like, I don't think that should be a states' rights thing. I think if we want to stop this right now, everyone needs to be.
I agree, because even Fauci agrees. Like, every state should be on lockdown. I mean, the thing is, in America, we come from the roots of the words freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the roots of America. You know, it's fighting for our freedom. And then it was fighting to keep others in chains. But
I love the contrast message of freedom, except for you people. You got to be in.
Except for the blacks.
You got to be chained up.
Excuse me, white people, blacks in Africa own slaves.
Did you know they were Irish slaves?
Wait, Matt, are you saying that two things can be despicable at the same time?
No.
You can't. There isn't just one iconic, despicable thing in all of the world. There can be multiple instances.
I have a cousin that's like, you know, there were Irish slaves. I'm like, yeah. And, okay, what's your point? Like,
I mean, it all stems from the kind of like the same thing, which is other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's racism. What about it?
And I apologize. We've been talking so much political stuff. I feel like lately the podcast has been mainly politics and coronavirus. But that's just kind of been where we've been at lately.
I know.
It's not always going to be just politics and coronavirus.
Ha ha. How many ha ha's did we have in this episode?
Not too many ha ha's. It's been more just talk, just discussion.
Also, think about it this way, audience. I do have like a group, like I'll play video games with Justin and Kelly and some other people sometimes. But most of the time, I am alone. You have social interaction with your roommates and stuff, but I'm not really given that much of a chance to like have long form discussion outside of like playing video games with people, but then you're also focused on the game and you're just having a fun time. So there's a lot of things I want to talk with, you know, Matt about.
Recording the podcast is a good like release of like things that we've seen all throughout the week on the news and have thought about. And I like talking to you about politics and stuff. You're a fun friend to talk about this stuff with.
I like talking about, sorry, I was checking the time. I like talking about, I had to get back to the mic. I like talking about politics with you because it's not constant agreement, I feel. I mean, we do agree on a lot because we do.
I think fundamentally we agree.
Yes, fundamentally we agree. But I think on like, there's little things I feel like there's like little details.
Yeah.
Like it's just ironing out the details.
Yeah. And I like that. I think it makes for an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And then, you know. Anyway, I hope that all of you are staying safe right now, staying inside, wearing a mask, washing your hands.
And this is another reminder. Soap. I know we've done it so much, but maybe this will get to someone new. If you are currently, because there's a lot of people who are subscribed to Netflix, Disney Plus, a lot of programs that maybe right now they can't afford to be subscribed to and they don't know it because it's on an automatic payment. And you may have Patreon set up that way for us. If you are hurting financially, this is a reminder that you should unsubscribe from the Patreon if you are having financial difficulties right now. And even though it's only $5, take the money you can get.
Yeah. And it's been harder for us. April and maybe May. I don't know. It's a little trickier to make stuff for Patreon right now when we can't be producing as much content as normal.
There was a comment I saw recently where I was like, what? Where it was someone saying they're not watching anymore because it's been like the same stuff recently. And in my head, I'm like, one, we've released a lot of new stuff in the beginning of the year. And two, are we not going through a pandemic? Do you not see that we can't just go out in public and film and we can't be as active as we were in terms of like going out to the grocery? Like think of drunk drawing. We don't have we're not a liquor store. We'd have to go out and buy the alcohol necessary.
Yeah. Which, and we do have more drunk drawing on the way too. We have some we have one more episode that's not out yet. It's just,
we do want to film more, but we're being very careful. We're not, you know,
we're kind of waiting. Cause it seems like if things are really about to ramp up, we're kind of waiting to see like, do we wait until the peak is passed? Do we, you know,
we're still going to be releasing content. It won't all be Animal Crossing. We actually have several episodes of GTA edited and ready to go.
We just wanted to get that big boost out. We should go ahead and start getting GTA out.
Yeah.
Cause I want to finish that game. And I've seen gotten a lot of DMs on Instagram. People are like, please bring back GTA. We are. We got plenty of GTA on the way still. We just, right with the whole Animal Crossing hype train, we were riding that hard because we love Animal Crossing. So we're like, let's fucking just.
Yeah.
So we got more diversity on the way for the channel.
Yes.
Apologies to people that aren't a fan of Animal Crossing and feel like the past few weeks they haven't been able to enjoy our channel as much because they just don't really care about Animal Crossing. We got a lot more on the way. And we have over 1,100-something videos on our channel right now.
We have a lot of live
Perfect
action
time.
To watch.
We're coming up on our 4th anniversary of Super Mega this month. Oh, shit. When does this podcast come out? It might be within this week is our four-year anniversary of Super Mega.
Was it April 16th?
April 16th.
Okay. Wow. See? I got that on lock. That's very strange. But anyways.
Or April 12th. April 16th.
Maybe 12th.
April 12th, 2016?
Yes.
4/12/2016.
Yes. Maybe.
So. When's the first video uploaded?
I don't know. We can check.
It's that week though. And
I was on my phone for some reason. I forgot what I was going to check. What was I checking?
Can you look up the first Super Mega upload?
How do I?
I want to say it's April 12th. Our last anniversary, the third one, was when we did a show in.
What was our first? Oh, was it just like.
It was just called Welcome to Super Mega, I think.
Welcome to Super Mega.
Or just go to our uploads and sort by oldest.
3 years ago, April 12th, 2016.
So
the 16th is another day.
Yeah, but it's we're coming up on 4 years. Holy shit. The growth we have experienced and the adventures we have gone on has been fucking awesome.
Filming in the echoey Mark studio.
Yep. That studio was so echoey. But
damn.
I still remember filming that video, the very first Super Mega video. with the big lights and the, it was fun. Anyway, guys, thank you for sticking with us for 4 years. We got plenty more on the way. Lots of big things coming in the future. We love you so, so, so much.
And the podcast is still going to come out. Matt,
yeah.
Do we know what music I'm putting on this to be yelled? Am I going to be yelled at for putting the music that I'm putting in on it?
No.
Is it the old music?
No.
What is it?
It's Every Time I Cry by Dan Mason.
Is it? How many times have we used it so far? Twice?
Mm-hmm.
Have you any complaints?
I think it fits the podcast very well. It's kind of like a vaporwavy thing. It's the same guy that made the original podcast music.
Okay. So this song.
Yeah, here it comes. Oh, it's gonna crescendo. Is that what it's called?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know the timing of this. You got to think of the timing of the end screen.
Here it comes. Oh shit! Ah!
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.